Okay, and joining us now, I usually say from where, but I never know where you are, and hopefully you do, is Michael Perry. Where are you, Michael?
Right now, I'm in an undisclosed location
Okay.
somewhere in between Bayfield and Wisconsin and Washburn, Wisconsin.
Well, okay. That narrows it down. We were just talking off the air, and unfortunately, well, I may as well let folks know we're actually recording this on Wednesday afternoon, late afternoon. So unfortunately, as far as what's going on at the Big Top on Thursday, and what time does it start on Friday? Are we going to miss that too?
On Friday, yeah, Friday starts, I believe. Let me double check here. Friday starts at 7:30
Oh,
p.m.
we got actually this will air in time for folks to hear about that, so perhaps get over, but we'll talk about what's
Yeah.
happening. But the first thing I wanted to do is it's been several years since we've had the opportunity to speak, and in that time you have become the host for Big Top Chautauqua. How'd you get that gig?
Well, I started going to the Big Top as a fan. And matter of fact, in my book, Truck, A Love Story, I wrote about going up there on a date with my wife to see Greg Brown play
All
under the
right.
canvas. Yeah, and it was a pretty big deal that date because it was on that date that it was about a 2 or 3 day date. And I told my wife on the way up there, I'd been a bachelor for 39 years and I just had figured I would never get married, and then I met the woman who's now my wife, and we'd been dating, I think, for 3 months or so at that time, but I was very settled. I believed that this was the person. I never thought I'd find. And so on the way up to the tent, I told her that. I said, I'm despite all my years of bachelorhood, I'm deeply in love, but even more than that, I just feel at peace with the idea that we can commit to each other forever. And she looked at me and said, "Well, I'm going to wait and see how things are going at the 6 month mark, and then I'll make a decision."
And you're lying out there swinging in the wind.
I think the line I used in the book was, "Well, that was a rolled up newspaper to the snoot." But anyway, we continued on despite that,
Yes.
and went to see Greg Brown play at the Big Top, and I remember that was a wonderful show, and I always loved going up there. And then I was invited to perform, and that was a wonderful experience. There's no better place to step out on stage than under that canvas up there. And then last year, they asked if I would host the radio show, and I agreed to do that, and it's been real fun. They basically record the concerts, and then those are distilled down to fit the radio time slot, and I do my hosting. I basically listen to the show and do a little monologue, and I do the introductions. I don't make any secret about it. There's an element of radio theater there. I have people ask me occasionally if I'm in the tent every weekend, and no, especially since some of those shows are airing in January, and it's
Right.
tough to get the tent up. And I did one time, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this story or not, but one time a lady came up to me and she said something very complimentary, very sweet about the show and about the hosting, and I thanked her, and she said, I don't know how you get up there every week, but she said, I'm glad you do it, and I sure enjoyed this week's show. And the show that week on the radio had been Johnny Cash and Bill Monroe. And I tried to figure out how to break the news to her. Ma'am, if you're a Johnny Cash fan, I'm afraid I have some bad news.
But if you're a Michael Perry fan, things are still good.
Oh gosh, but it's been a you know it's been a privilege to just be associated with the tent. It's a
Well, it's been fun.
Neat place,
Yeah, it's
and
been.
they've been real good to me, and I'm not the face of the tent or anything like that. There's a long history there of people who worked hard to make it what it is. I'm basically being given the opportunity to sit in for a little while, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, and it's been fun over here too because it has aired on our radio station for a number of years and currently enjoys the 6 p.m. Saturday evening time slot. So it's been fun to listen to that. But I know that in the summertime, fairly regularly, you're not only up there, but you're also performing, and that actually you're doing Thursday and Friday. Now, is this a long beds deal or?
No, actually, Friday. So tonight, when you're hearing this,
right?
I'm part of an ensemble, and we're doing a show called Ballyhoo Ha, which is a comedy show, original skits written by the Big Top folks, and I am singing one song. I'm singing Somewhere Out in Mudbrook, and just doing some acting. I get to, matter of fact, I get to do one of my favorite skits in which I portray, I guess the word would be an exotic fashion designer.
Chaz,
the fashion designer, which is a bit of a departure for me. And I'll also be doing a couple of humorous monologues and appearing as characters. And that's tonight. And then tomorrow night, Saturday, there's a great bluegrass show, Mountain Heart and the Fitzmaurice Band. And I'm doing a monologue to open that and then just going to get out of their way and let them play.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, there's a great show. It's called Blue Canvas Orchestrated. And the Blue Canvas Orchestra will be actually playing with the symphony.
Wow. And the Duluth Symphony.
The Duluth Superior Symphony.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm listed as the host for that one, and I will be there, and I will host it, and I will do some introductions. But they did say that I could keep it pretty brief. I'm not saying that I'm not a perfect match for the symphony, because I'm a guy. Matter of fact, when you called me today, you could hear in the background I was actually listening to classical music.
Yes.
I had to turn it on right before I picked up the phone. But no, it's, you know, I'm being silly, but it's just, you've been there. It's
a
wonderful place to
it is.
A
it
show,
is.
Whether it's music, whether it's a juggler, whatever it is. It's just a wonderful, wonderful venue.
Yeah, it really is, and I know that a lot of folks from this part of the world go over there on a regular basis, and
scrambling around, by the way, to keep track of what we just said, there are actually more coherent information. You can just go to sneezingcow.com, and on the live events page, we have all the events listed and links to the tent.
Oh, okay, yeah, great. And then I'm assuming that they can link from there to if they need to buy tickets or something like that too.
Yep, we have links to those things. You bet.
It is as you said, it's a great venue, and they've done an incredible job with the talent that they brought in every single year. So, I want to remind our listeners that we're visiting with Michael Perry. Of course, Michael used to be a regular this program. It seems like we went through a stretch there where it was like once a week for a while. But what about now? Of course, most people know you as a, what did I read one time? A memoirist? Is that a word? Probably. It is now.
It is now.
Have you been?
Well, I'm working on, as a matter of fact, as you called, I'm working on my next memoir. I have to have it turned into my editor by October 1st, and I'm in a lot of trouble. if I don't turn it in by then, it's going to get knocked back at least a year, so I'm really trying to hit that deadline. I have supposedly, if I hit that deadline, I have another memoir coming out next spring, and I don't know what to say about it much, except it's a book about my old neighbor. He's 80-some years old, makes his own cannons and shoots them, and we're not best buddies, and it's not like I'm not apprenticing with him or anything, but I just sort of am using him as a character as a jumping off point for considering what it is to be father and a man and trying to survive in
well, you know,
the upcoming age.
That's what I was thinking about this thing with the Big Top and your work with that. I mean, you're a writer. You're a father. You're a farmer. You're a performer. I'm sure there's a couple of other things I could throw in there. Where the heck do you find the time to do that, or to do half the stuff you do?
It's a constant juggle, and you know, it's a tricky thing to talk about because I don't ever want to make it sound like I'm pleading for any special consideration. I'm a lucky, lucky guy, and I'm grateful. I mean, gratitude is kind of my byword. I stumbled into all of this, but the frank answer is, I'm self-employed, and our family is self-supporting, and so there's a little bit of farming, raising pigs and chickens for food, and we sell a little bit of it, although not a lot. And then there's the book writing, and the writing is where it all starts. And if I don't pay attention to that, everything else dries up. But the truth is, you may have heard there are some upheavals in the publishing world these days.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thankful to say I kind of saw that coming. And so long ago, I started incorporating performance into my writing. And so the bottom line is that I'm doing all those things so that we can put together a living for our family. And I'm on the road 8,200 days a year, whether it's performing with the band or doing readings, or sometimes I'm just on the road doing research for magazine articles. I still do some magazine writing. But it's kind of a jumble, and there's no question that I'm overbooked now and then. And it's my wife and I talk about that. We try to work it out on the fly. But I'll tell you what, in this day and age, I have no complaints. I'm very lucky to be working.
Perhaps so.
And coming from where I come from, too, you know, I'll be at book signings, and someone will say, oh, you must be all so tired from signing all these books. And I just go, you know, my brother's a logger.
Uh-huh.
And I think I can just smile and soldier on.
Yeah, I understand.
So
I understand.
The answer is, I never anticipated doing all these things, and some have suggested that perhaps I've over-diversified, but the bottom line is it's about survival and finding ways to pay the health insurance premium.
When I know you've got a new deal coming out, in fact, I just saw it, the Clodhopper Monologues, which is a two-disc CD set. As my grandson likes to say, what's up with that?
Well, you're right that the live performance has become a very enjoyable part of what I do. And I've gotten to where I still do readings and just your standard speaking engagements, but I also got to where I had enough material that I put together about a two-hour, one-man show. And I've done it several places, and then last year, or actually earlier this year, we booked the Stoughton Opera House down in southern Wisconsin, beautiful old restored opera house. And I just showed up there with a microphone, and we taped it and got it down to a two CD set and released it live. And it just went great, and I couldn't have been happier with how it turned out. And some of the stories on there are stories that are taken from the books. Others are just stories that I only do live.
Ah.
Some of them are old, some of them are new, and it's just a mix of things. I talk about everything from my beer tent story from yesteryear to talking about trying to be a halfway decent dad and how much it costs to feed a guinea pig.
But
that's coming out. You can actually pre-order that at sneezingcow.com right now. It's officially released on the 23rd.
And you can go.
We have a little deal going on the website where if you pre-order it, you get on a list and you'll get a signed card from me, and you'll also get put in a drawing where we're going to draw in three of the people who place pre-orders. I said that they get some. I think it's their choice of a T-shirt. And they also get a few certainly rare and possibly valuable, but probably not collector's items, personally selected by me.
I know, it says a packet of possibly rare, but certainly miscellaneous items.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I think it's worth pre-ordering just to get in on that deal myself. And for those who are listening, once again, sneezingcow.com is where you can go pre-order.
No, where I come from, the whole culture of you down to the Legion Hall or the Fire Hall, you got it. You know, it's not a good get together unless you got a drawing or a raffle.
Meat raffle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we figured, well, people who pre-order, we'll put them in the raffle there.
In the town that I grew up in, the VFW had a meat raffle about every 2 weeks, and that's when you went to the VFW. I mean, there was no.
Yeah, also,
absolutely.
In New Auburn, where I grew up there, they had the meat and gun raffle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get your hunk of beef and a 30-06 if you played your cards right.
Now, you mentioned earlier, and I wish we could go on a lot longer, but I know you're busy. You mentioned earlier about the changes in the world of publishing. How has that impacted you?
Well, it's a three-hour discussion, but I'll try to. First of all, I don't fear it. I think I don't know much, but one thing I have learned is you got to learn to navigate change, not fear it. I was lucky in that I spent a lot of my early writing, quote-unquote, career writing about music and musicians, and mm-hmm. I watched what they went through when the whole music industry digitized, and
right.
that was, you know, there's about a 10-year lead time on that. And one thing I learned was that A, you can't fight it, and B, you live performance has been what's really worked out for many musicians. It's the one thing you can't download, and that's one of the reasons we talked a little earlier about why I'm on the road and why I perform, that, you know, you so far you can download me, and I'm not sure why you'd want to. The other thing is that I'm very grateful that I'm still with HarperCollins, and they've been great to me, and I would love to do books with them for the next 20 years. But with all this digitization, the problems that come with it, there are also all kinds of new opportunities. I mean, you can self-publish now with
right.
me. I got my start self-publishing. I self-published my first four books. And back in that day and age, I had to save up my money, and I had to print 1,000 books in order to hit a price point that I could afford. Then I had 1,000 books in my garage, and I had to sell them.
Right, right.
And nowadays, you have so many other options. And yes, there are downsides, and you know, we could talk about that another time, piracy and digital theft and that sort of thing. But the truth is, these things will sort themselves out, and you still need to write a decent story and pay attention to the work. And so when I say that there are upheavals and that I've had to do more and more live performance to survive, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're also seeing, I still love, of course, the printed book. And I love, I'm a product of small independent booksellers who are so supportive of me. And I continue to try to support them. But you also see book sales are increasing in the digital format. So I think the good news is it's not going to be as sweeping as it was in the music industry. It's a little different animal. And so I think there will always be a market for the good old physical book.
Yeah.
But there's no question, I can't put my hand in the sand. Things are changing.
Oh, sure. Well, and as you say, you can either fight it or you can navigate it.
Yeah.
And that
navigate
seems to be
it.
The best way. So what, so by October, you got to have your book written.
Yeah, as soon as that's done, then I signed another deal with Harper to do, it's a 2-book deal to write a young adult novel, a series. And so the minute I finish this grown-up book, then I got to get to work on that young adult novel. I just had an email from my young adult editor this morning. People with their calendars, you sign a contract, and then they expect you to somehow follow through with it.
Expect you to live up to it. Man, you know.
Just, so I'm doing that, and then I'm working on a lot of other projects. I mean, with the band, we have a little record deal with Ambledown Records, and they would like us to do another album with them. Our last album with them was called Tiny Pilot, and they'd like us to do another one. It's just a matter of time. And I'm going to sometime this year get Truck and Coop out as audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
So there's plenty to do.
Seems to be. Yeah, right. Yeah. Finding the time. Well,
By the way, on October, or I think on September 10th, I'm going to be back up at the Big Top, too, for Old Last Night, which is a great, fun evening, a lot of humor and comedy. And there I'll be doing a little longer monologue.
And when does your...
I'm a non sequitur, but I just...
When does the season end?
My life is constructed on non sequitur. Well, I don't have the whole calendar in front of me, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that the show on September 10th is called The Old Last Night Grand Finale. No, you do the math.
Yeah, right. That's good enough for me, I think. Quite subtle, but pretty good. Hey, listen, I know you got to get off to rehearsal, and I don't want to hold you up, but it was, as always, it was great to talk to you again, per se, vis-a-vis this interview.
I appreciate it. I get a little embarrassed because I've been sitting here, apart from rehearsals, I really am hunkered down writing, and for 4 days, I haven't talked to anybody outside of rehearsal. I brought all my food to this little cabin I'm in, and I just am working and writing. And so I get a phone call like this, and I tend to just babble on like a giddy little schoolgirl, and then afterwards, but now I'll hang up, and I'll just think, well, see, now that was horrible. So, I appreciate you having me on, and I assume that you can just edit this down.
We'll just edit the heck out of this baby, and it'll be all good. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to talk to you, and say hi to everybody up in that neck of the woods. Hope to get back up there again one day with the band.
We do, too. All right. All right. Take care.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Bye.